It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
About that.
What do you think I'm going to do?
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and paperclips are her snowshoes, Dana Perino, the five. The Biden White House defending its decision to swap the Merchant of Death for a WNBA basketball star. Brand new video shows Brittany Griner on her way back to the U.S. after 10 months in a Russian prison. She was set to do 9 years of hard time for having cannabis oil in her luggage. Convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Boot was all smiles over the trade. This guy's a seriously bad dude. He was convicted of conspiring to kill Americans and providing aid to terrorists. Meanwhile, Biden left someone behind, American Marine Paul Whelan, snubbed from the prisoner swap. He was doing a 16-year sentence on bogus spying charges. Peter Ducey asking if America got a raw deal.
In this prisoner swap, why did Russia get such a better deal?
Our choices was Brittany or no one at all. Bringing home one American or no American at all.
And that's a professional athlete. We gave up a prolific arms dealer who was convicted of trying to kill Americans, who was called the Merchant of Death.
The professional athlete is also an American citizen. So let's not forget that.
Paul Whelan is questioning why more wasn't done to get him back home.
I'm happy that Brittany is going home today and that Trevor went home when he did. But I don't understand why I'm still sitting here. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go home. I just need an airplane to come and get me.
And Republicans warned this trade puts a bounty on every single American.
Think about the exchange here. The Merchant of Death for a WNBA star who was picked up for marijuana. What a victory for Putin. But what else it does, it makes every American who is overseas vulnerable. Why? Because they can pick you up on a trumped up charge to get somebody they want out.
All right. So, Harold, I think, you know, by the way, good to see you.
Good to be back.
Yes. I think that, you know, in cable TV, people don't expect you to have more than one idea in your head at the same time. But you can say that this, you're happy she's back, but this is a lousy deal. You can have two competing thoughts in your head. Would you agree with that?
Sure. First of all, I'm glad she's home, and I pray for Paul Whelan. This is the second time. Trevor Reed was released, and he was not released. There's something with this story that I don't fully understand. I agree that these are bogus charges, but there's something here that they have gotten exercised about the Russians. I'm happy she's home. I would ask those who can't do what you're doing, which is to have two ideas in your head at once, who seem to be so exercised that she's home and they're even fixated on her being a professional athlete. The question I would have was really two. I take the administration at their word that this was the only deal they could get. And for those who don't, who believe that because she's home, that somehow or another it's an affront to Mr. Whelan, should we have left her there? I would answer no. We should not have left her there. And it seems as if you believe what the administration is saying, this was the only deal that they were offered. Now, again, I hope that the Whelan family, my prayers go out to them. I read what the Whelan family tweeted. I don't know if we probably all did, but they tweeted that there's no greater success than for a wrongful detainee to be freed and to go home. The Biden administration made the right decision to bring Ms. Griner home and to make the deal that was possible rather than waiting for one that wasn't going to. I hope the Biden administration does not give up on this front. I think Mr. McCarthy, there's some validity to what he's saying about Americans are vulnerable around the world, but I don't think you can blame. I hope he's not blaming the administration for that. I was pleased to see also, as I finish here, Brittany Griner's wife at the White House, she thanked all the people that helped, from even sound like mid-level people in the State Department and overseas, and even Governor Richardson for his help that he provided in this. So whatever was they did not were able to do to get Paul Whelan home, I hope they don't stop because he deserves to be home as well.
So, Judge, Harold seems to, I kind of sense that basically we were, from what Harold said, Russia had the United States over the barrel. They held all the cards.
Yeah.
They put her away for 9 years, making it her an amazing bargaining chip. Was there any way that this could have been done differently?
Look, when you're dealing with these kinds of negotiations, you have people, you know, under the table, at the table, around the table, on both sides. There's a lot of layers of what's going on, and far be it from me to know. Let me first make it clear. I'm glad she's home. All right. But I think that you've got Obama, when he was president and Biden was vice president, the Dems have a history of bad trades. When you give five of the worst Taliban in exchange for Bo Bergdahl, who was a deserter, you know, that's not a great exchange. But having said that, I heard the president this morning. I thought, and you're going to be shocked, I thought he did a great job at the press conference this morning. I thought the Whalen family were incredibly gracious today. But here's the thing. They're saying it was Brittany or no one. Mm-hmm. But who chose to make the trade? The Russians chose to make the trade. It was the Russians who decided that this was the moment. They wanted the merchant of death out, the arms dealer out. They're in the middle of a war. What does that tell you? They wanted to make a deal. And I don't know if we could have said more or we could have demanded more, but there's a part of me that says, you want the deal bad enough to get that dirtbag, then you make the deal.
I didn't even make that connection, the timing of it, and having to deal with the war right now in Ukraine. I didn't even think of that. That's kind of, that is chilling. Do you, Dana, I want to see this. Can we throw up this Randy Weingarten tweet? Mm-hmm. You know her. She runs the unions. Come on.
Teachers union.
There you go. What a great relief. Extraordinary news. A basketball star, but also a gay black woman is released. And, of course, we want the other prisoners like Paul Whelan released, too. It was like such an afterthought.
It might be the worst tweet of 2022. Yeah.
I wonder if Whelan is wondering if he should start identifying as a black lesbian.
I'm sure he wonders. Right? I mean, I thought that the press secretary's response, even to Peter Ducey today, to say, well, Brittany Griner is also an American.
Yeah.
That was a decent answer there. But I think that also what you were asking Harold initially, even Brittany's wife had those two thoughts in her head and shared them with everybody. Mm-hmm. She has a range of emotions. And she promised that she and Brittany are going to continue to use their power, their voice, and their celebrity and the backing of the media in order to help get Paul Whelan out mm-hmm. and other hostages that are being held around the world. So you can think of this as a tactical win and a strategic loss mm-hmm. because Putin has wanted boot for many, many years. And what he's been doing is taking higher and higher profile targets
right.
until he could ratchet up the pain enough that we would say, all right, you can have mm-hmm. Victor Boot back. And what Kevin McCarthy was saying is just a general concern that the State Department has long had, which is if you tell these regimes that you're going to get what you want if you target our people. Remember Otto Warmbier of North Korea and what they did to him? He died.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a student.
Student at UVA.
But they know that Americans will do what we have to do and make really hard decisions and tough choices for them. Trevor Reed also, when he was released, he was very upset that Paul Whelan had not been released at the same time. So I'm just wondering at this point then, what is our leverage? If what Putin wanted the most was Victor Boot, what's the next ask in order to get Whelan? What do we have on the table to offer?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Jesse, what are your thoughts?
It was a bad trade. Worse than the Sixers sending Barkley to the Suns. This woman, I'm glad she's back. She's anti-American. She's probably a little less anti-American now.
Right, maybe.
And Whalen's probably an intel guy, and Putin wouldn't let him go. But I find it hard to believe we didn't have more leverage. If we're sending all these weapons that are killing the Russians, if we have all these sanctions on the Russians, if we have all this energy in the ground of the United States, we couldn't have gotten a better deal. I don't know. And we had to let the Saudis broker it. Biden now needs the pariah for oil and hostages. This guy hung up the phone on Joe. Joe went over, fist bumped. He stopped production, slowed it down. And then he's begging him to cut a deal and he gets the merchant out. I mean, I don't know if Little Rocket Man can do any worse for the United States, but this was bad on all accounts. Now, the merchant, now after the Soviet Union collapsed, he took all of the stockpiles of weapons, loaded them up into cargo aircraft, and just dumped tens of thousands of AK-47s into every jungle, every desert, every insurgent group, terrorist group, cartel, African war criminal, got more AK-47s than they ever needed. And so this guy's got American blood on his hands, and he's probably going to lead to more American deaths. Putin targeted Britney. He knew by choosing a black lesbian celebrity, it would put the political squeeze on Biden. Now, every dictator knows who to target. A woke hostage is going to spring you if you're a Democrat in the White House. Now, I have to say something. If you're Britney's agent and you're sending Britney Griner to Russia a week before Putin invades Ukraine, that's on you.
Yep.
This woman, Lindsay Kagawa-Kolis, sent her client with drugs to Russia while there was battalions encircling Ukraine and said, oops. I mean, you almost can't blame Putin because he's an animal. Animals do what animals do. They're going to take a hostage. This woman, when Britney comes down, she should kiss U.S. soil and fire this agent.
That's funny that it's the agent that you're really mad at.
It is true. I agree.
I don't know.
But you think the agent is more to blame than Putin?
Putin's obvious to blame, but listen, when you play with a tiger, the tiger's going to smash your face in.
Oh, man. That's pretty interesting.
While you were traveling there at that time, there were travel warnings everywhere for Americans not to go.
Well, there were other Americans on the team.
Yeah, there are other Americans on a basketball team.
Yeah, anyway, any of the team.
Unfortunately for them, they weren't chosen. Putin chose her.
Fortunately.
He's the star with the drugs.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she now understands the sacrifice this country gave for her, because we don't know what this guy will be capable of now that he's free.
He's only 55 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Don't underestimate America's ability to follow people also. So, I mean, he got out, but I think America, we got a pretty good military.
Hit him with a drone strike.
We still got a pretty good military here.
Yeah. All right. Up next, liberals trying to take down Elon Musk after standing up for free speech. It's next.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Free speech-hating liberals cooking up new ways to harass Elon Musk. Congressman Adam Schiff writing a letter threatening the billionaire Twitter owner, demanding that he tamp down on hate speech. Despite Musk laying out the data in this handy little chart that shows hate speech is actually down. Huh. And San Francisco officials are investigating reports that Twitter has set up sleeping quarters for employees in its office. Musk firing back. So City of San Francisco attacks companies providing beds for tired employees instead of making sure kids are safe from fentanyl. Where are your priorities, London Breed? But San Francisco is playing a dangerous game here. Musk could pack up Twitter's headquarters and just move to Texas. He did that with Tesla, didn't he?
It would be much more convenient for him, right?
Yeah.
He's got a lot on his plate, as he said the other day. He's spread very thin.
I like to keep my companies in the same state. So.
Yeah, that way, because one, you could save a lot of money on taxes, but also just efficiency, so you're all right there together. I was thinking, too, like San Francisco is going to complain about someone providing beds to people who are tired. Actually, that's the whole idea here. And he's it's a private company, and if his engineers want to work around the clock to try to make this work, to try to make things better for the company because they decided to stay and he's paying them well, why does the city care?
Not allowed to work around the clock in San Francisco. Great. You can be high 24/7. You just can't sleep.
They should be asking him for advice on housing, not condemning him for providing it. You know, Jesse, like you always say, hate speech is your favorite speech. So I think there is a lie. There's always been this lie behind hate speech that it can be defined.
Yeah.
Right. And it opens the door for policing all kinds of speech. Goes now from being it works backwards, hate speech to misinformation to just something that is simply disagreeable. And so that's kind of what we're seeing. Meanwhile, you know, sunlight actually works. If you actually believe that the policing of hate speech actually works against hate speech, how do you explain Kanye West? There was no censorship whatsoever. That's why sunlight beats everything. If you want to see a bad idea die, let it out. And it's the same thing with businesses that decide not to, I don't know, allow somebody into their store. Let it happen. Their business dies. That's how it works. But the main point is the people that are most vocal about silencing hate speech practice it the most. I mean, Schiff has deliberately misled America about having, you know, accused criminality of Trumpers and Trump himself. That, how is that not hate speech? And isn't he putting Musk in harm's way? Right. By talking so negatively of him, because that's what this is about. It's about anytime you criticize, you are putting somebody in harm's way. So Schiff is actually putting Musk in harm's way. Yeah, and maybe I'm putting Musk, Schiff in harm's way by pointing that out. And you looking at me right now puts me in harm's way.
Well, I actually do want to do harm to you. That's the difference. If you say he's a pencil neck, he can say, oh, that's hate speech.
Yeah, but truth is a defense.
Nice.
What do you think about this whole Musk?
When I was a DA, we had I had investigators in my office, and there were, I don't know, 40, 50 of them. But when we had a wiretap, and we were on a wiretap 24/7, that means Saturday, Sunday, criminals were always talking to each other. We had like beds in the investigators division, right? If they wanted to rest for an hour until the wire went off, they would do that. And the same with Musk. We're not talking about violating the ordinance of the city of San Francisco where he's intending to have people live there as a residence. No, people are taking sleeping bags and want to get a few hours of sleep and go right back to work. And he's just providing a little more humane ability and a more comfortable chance for them to do that. And as for the Twitter and hate speech and all that stuff, look, the facts are the truth. And if Elon Musk is able to say, look, hate speech is down, but it's a private company. Schiff and the rest of those fools have no right interfering with a private company. Am I right or wrong, Harold?
Is she right or is she wrong, Harold Ford Jr.?
Legally.
I think you look
legally.
They have every right to say on behalf of Americans that work there, we want to defend you, and you have rights in the workplace. So they have that right. But I want to agree with you in a large part. Can I come? Are you coming to me now?
I'm coming
to
you.
Elon Musk, and we've said before on the show, and I've said, I think of Jobs, I think of Gates, and he as the three people who, in my 52-year life, have really revolutionized so many things in the way we're able to do things. His ideas are full of imagination, innovation, and oftentimes they seem out of reach what they want to accomplish. Battery-powered cars, non-state-sponsored rocket ships. He has an AI company that he's invested in that, frankly, has the potential to do even more than these two companies, and now Twitter. So I also give people the benefit of the doubt. And him, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here as he tries to do this for two reasons. One, he's a capitalist. And the only way he's going to make money with Twitter is if advertisers keep advertising. So the marketplace will reconcile a lot of these issues. If the marketplace thinks it's hate speech, then people are not going to advertise on the platform. He wants to do big things with this platform. He even has ideas of make it even a fintech platform, a financial technology platform. We'll see if he's able to do that. And he will certainly put himself in the line of regulation, because government will determine whether or not he's treating consumers the right way. I tell everybody, take a chill pill on this guy. I know Adam Schiff. I served with him in Congress. Maybe he has something more than what's been put out there so far. But everybody, take a little restraint here. Let him do the Elon Musk magic that he's done in these other companies. And before you know it, we may have a better Twitter, a cleaner Twitter, a health. For me to say Twitter this time around, I know I'm going to mess it up. But we'll have a healthier social media platform if we allow him to do his job.
I would put Vince McMahon in that group of really great entrepreneur. No, because if you look at the stock price of WWE compared to some of these other entertainment companies, whoo, through the roof, Harold.
Good question.
Through the
Somebody
roof.
Wants a ticket.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
Coming up, a huge warning from the feds about America's power grid after an intentional attack turned out the lights for thousands of people.
There are still
the feds out with a scary warning on how intentional attacks on the power grid could plunge America into complete darkness. It comes days after gunfire at two substations in North Carolina. It shut off the lights for thousands for 5 days, and it was freezing temperatures, too, by the way. But the feds warn it wasn't an isolated incident. Get this, five electricity substations in Oregon and Washington were attacked last month. North Carolina governor says this should be a national issue.
We have to have a serious national conversation about protecting our critical infrastructure, because this is unacceptable to have this many people without power for this long. It was clear that they knew how to cause significant damage.
Harold, you know, we've been worried for many years about a cyber attack on our grid or the Russians taking down our grid somehow. It turns out actually Americans are here. We think it's Americans, you know, shooting up at these substations. And today the sheriff said that whoever shot it was not just like, it wasn't like random, that they knew exactly what they were doing to target it to take out the electricity.
Right. So I read that also, and it led me to believe that whomever did this knew exactly what they were doing. I mean, Jesse and I, as much as we like going around shooting BB guns, we wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to shoot at if we were shooting, trying to put out the lighting system somewhere. So we don't go around shooting BB guns. But at the same time, this is what the investigative powers in Congress and the Senate should be. One of the things they should be focused on. I mean, what is it that is being done in New York, in Memphis, where I'm from, in Dallas, and Houston, and Detroit, to guard those systems? So, and what? How many people they think may know what to shoot at, what to grab at, what to pull off if you're going to, I should say, pull out if you're trying to disrupt, like this power grid here was disrupted. We saw what happened in Texas with the weather a little over a year ago. We need whatever money may be left in this infrastructure bill that was passed by Congress. We got to allocate some of those resources, even some of the unused resources for COVID, to try to help cities and municipalities deal with this issue before we find ourselves with another challenge like this.
We have criminals, Judge. And it's, so far, I haven't seen anything that there's cameras or we have lights around there that would tell us who these people are. And it could lead to something even like a homicide, right? Because if somebody dies.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But the homicide, with all due respect, is really the least of it. We've got 55,000 power stations as substations in this country. All of them are accessible, okay? Some of them have cameras. Some of them have concrete barriers. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like the one in Lower Manhattan, I did one of my shows from there a couple of years ago. They just have chain-link fences around them. And I think it was in San Jose and Silicon Valley about 9 years ago where they said Bubba with a shotgun after a night out drinking shot up a substation, but they knew to shoot out the cameras, get over the concrete barrier. Look, this is a way to take down the American grid. Exactly. The American grid is a balkanized system of grids that is typical of a third world country. There is no one agency that actually regulates all of it. So I want you to think about this state has a grid, that state has a grid, and nobody, because they've got all these electric companies have their lobbyists, nobody wants to bring the grids up to par. The problem is the way this can happen is it can be an electromagnetic pulse. It can be a nuclear weapon at a high altitude. It can be cyber. It can be physical, like you talked about, or it can be the sun. Every 157 years, there is an attack. The sun creates some kind of a solar flare. So in the end, we could lose everything. Bank accounts, hospitals. We could be in darkness in the Northeast. We can't grow food. I mean, this is a mess.
I agree.
So what are we going to do, Greg?
Kill Jesse Waters. You know, I was just thinking that. What if I wanted to kill Jesse Waters? I was listening, and it's like, what if this was just a huge plan to kill one person? So you let's say Jesse lives in, like, Plantfield, New Jersey. So I Google, because you can Google the stations. They're that easy to find. Figure out what station caters to your neighborhood. I shoot that out. You have no alarm system. You have no surveillance cameras. It's a perfect storm for me to finally achieve my dream of murdering Jesse Waters. Don't think, I mean, that could be it. But these stations are sitting ducks. And I'm hesitant to even talk about the vulnerability that's there because the security has not been updated in decades. It would be like doing a segment where, you know, Jesse complains about he left the keys in his Maserati on 46th and 7th Avenue. And, you know, it's like you're actually giving people information that you don't want to give. In fact, the Maserati is in front of the M&M store, in case you're interested.
I really should not have mentioned what you did at Harold's house.
I know, but you know, it's easy to locate. It's easy to locate these substations. And so what it does, it's almost the equivalent of a terrorist or a criminal knowing the PIN number to our electric grid. Yeah. That's how important. Right. It's the PIN
it's
number.
Easier.
It's easy. Yeah, that's what I mean. They have it. So I think we have to, like, realize that chain link fences aren't enough, or just having them out in a field isn't enough. If you have a long-range rifle, you could do it. So I think we need better monitoring and a readiness posture in case this happens.
What do you think, Jesse?
A bunch of saboteurs sprayed with automatic fire a substation in San Jose in 2013. And we did some digging and found out if you attack just 9 specific substations, you can black out the entire country.
Yep.
Now, you remember, if you ever been living in the suburbs, what happens when you lose power? You go to medieval times like that.
Not me, but
lights.
Yeah.
If you, you can't afford a generator, you know, you're back to lighting candles. That's how scary it is. You can't even blow your hair, Greg. That would actually kill me. And you want to know about the infrastructure bill that he passed, $1.2 trillion. How much of that money went to update the grid? 5%. Have they spent any of that money? No. What did they spend the money on so far? They are in the process of building an anti-racist bird-watching footbridge in Phoenix.
Oh, thank God.
And they're underway with installing heated sidewalks in a small town in New Hampshire.
Oh.
So, you know
what?
Those feet are cold, Jesse. Let's take our time with the energy grid, but those sidewalks, they better melt the snow.
But the judge said it, why it's hard to do, because it's 50 different agencies. This is a statewide. This is federalism at its worst.
Split $65 billion by 50 state agencies, and there's more than enough money.
And change the
laws. I just want to tell you very quickly. I went to a hearing right after San Jose, and they had all the senators there. And you know what the issue was? Who was the person at the Wall Street Journal who wrote the article that talked about taking down the grid? They didn't care about regulating it because everybody gets lobbyist money. You can point to the money.
Yeah. Blame the media.
America deserves better on that one, indeed. All right. Ahead, woke corporations better watch out. Republicans warning the free ride is over. Nobody buys it when we walk in. They said there ain't no way that she's with them. In a world where nothing is what it's saying. Once upon a time. Fairy tales or some dream at the bottom of a wishing well. CEOs at woke corporations better watch out. Republicans are putting them on notice. Senator Tom Cotton tearing into Kroger's boss for asking the GOP for help to stop Democrats' planned regulations after the chain recently silenced conservative employees.
I've cautioned them for years that if they silence conservatives and center-right voters across the country, if they discriminate against them in their company, they probably shouldn't come and ask Republican senators to carry the water for them whenever our Democratic friends want to regulate them or block their mergers. I'll say this. I'm sorry that's happening to you. Best of luck.
But Disney doesn't seem to be taking the threat seriously. Despite the promise to quiet things down on the culture wars, Disney's top dog, Bob Iger, says people in power have a, quote, extra responsibility to push gun control. Now, Dana, I first want to address the concept of Tom Cotton getting out there and saying, you know what? We're going to start drawing the lines in the sand. You know, you expect us to help you when you're constantly, in this case, apparently, there were two employees of Kroger's who were conservatives who got fired because of their beliefs. And then they go to Tom Cotton and say, we want your help. Is that the way to run businesses?
And I think that the divorce with the Republican Party and corporate America had been brewing for some time. And I think it really reached a fever pitch when Georgia's passed the new voting laws. And then all of a sudden you had companies like Delta, Coca-Cola, Major League Baseball, Coca-Cola, financial institutions. They said that that was a racist vote suppressor in Georgia. And then remember MLB moved out and then they hadn't even read the bill.
Right.
But they will come to the Republicans and say, oh, my gosh, you got to help us. You wouldn't believe what these crazy liberals want to do. They want to regulate us. We're not going to be able to do business. We're going to have to lay off people. We're not going to be competitive in the world. We need the Republicans to help us. And somebody like Tom Cotton saying, guys, you're going to have to pay attention here and either choose to run a business or to be political. But you're not going to be able to do both and come to me.
You know, Harold, when Bob Chapek, the head of Disney, you know, got into that alleged don't say gay law in Florida, Ron DeSantis took it quite seriously, and now Chapek is gone. But now Bob Iger comes in and says he's got his own culture war going on. Why don't the heads of corporations stay in their lane and do what they do and let the politicians deal with the other stuff?
Because I think that we live in a society where everybody feels that they're a part of what's happening and everyone sees what's happening. Look, I think the Disney CEO has a right to freedom of speech. And if the shareholders and others in and around that company, the board doesn't want that CEO, they can excuse the CEO, much like they did Mr. Iger's predecessor. I thought you were going to go a different direction with Tom Cotton. I was disappointed in Tom Cotton. I think he is, on paper, as qualified as any person to serve in the Senate. He's a veteran. He's a Harvard-educated, Harvard-trained guy. He's conservative. I'm not conservative. But the logic doesn't make sense to me. You cannot say to a constituent of yours or a constituency, I'm mad at you. This is like a seven-year-old. So I'm not gonna listen. Even though I agree with you, I'm so mad at you, I can't help you. Now, if you don't agree with them, that's one thing. If you philosophically say, I think that's the wrong thing to cut taxes. I think that's the wrong thing to have less regulations in your industry. I think it's the wrong thing to help you compete, innovate, and win against China. But if all you're saying is you're mad, it reminded me of when Governor DeSantis, who's an impressive guy himself, but when he said he wouldn't go on The View because he thought those hosts were really mean. If you can't handle The View, you can't handle China. And for Tom Cotton, I hope he steps back.
Really?
No. Well, he said it. He was the one that said, I'm not going to subject myself.
Say, I can't go there.
Let me say this. I was in Congress. I'd never said to my Republican constituents, if you call the office and you want help with your passport or you want help with a constituent matter, I'm not going to do it because I'm mad at you. Yeah. If they called and said, we want you to vote for a bill that would allow more people to have guns, I'd say, you know what? I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
here's
I understand
why. He was wrong in what he said. I think you agree with me.
But the question is, and what Harold's talking about, Jesse, is why not take advantage of the opportunity? But doesn't it indicate that we are so far down the road that, you know, Democrats don't do anything to help Republicans and the Republicans are saying it's our turn?
All these politicians are totally bought off by these companies anyway. They've been talking such a big game about what they're going to do to the big tech. We're going to break up big tech. A decade they've been saying that? How many years have we heard they're going to raise taxes on the hedge funds? How many years? Do they ever do it? They never do it. Oh, we're going to go after Big Pharma. Big Pharma pays a fine, breaks the law. Pays a fine, breaks the law. What, are they going to break up a merger? Maybe they break up one or two mergers. Lawyers still get paid. Lobbyists still get paid. Yeah. They just reapply to merge when there's a different administration in there. This is what happens. You get a senator who's mad. They come to the senator. Oh, really? You have a problem? Why doesn't your sister-in-law join our board? And every quarter, we'll fly her out. Doesn't matter. Don't disclose it. Duff the books.
Is that how
And the stock options, they're transferable. Oh, you still have a problem? Because we'll just fund your primary opponent. Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, you look like you need a vacation. I mean a fact-finding mission. We're going to fly you to Nicaragua, and you'll have one meeting about an environmental impact study, and the rest of the time you can golf at the resort. That's how it works, Harold, and you were there, and you know better than anybody.
I missed out on this.
Yeah.
I never had these things happen.
Harold, everywhere, and you know it. They have an army of
lobbyists. Thank you, Jesse.
Carpet bomb
thank
these politicians
you.
Into
thank
submission.
Thank you very much.
They could do something, but they don't.
Greg.
I would disagree mildly with Harold. I think that yes, Cotton does come off almost as a little kind of snotty or churlish, except that what he's working for is persuasion for the next opportunity. I think he's trying to say, look, you know, we'll try working with us and we'll work with you. But right now it kind of sucks. But I think it's the Igers of the world who are the real selfish jerks because they don't understand what's happening to their employees. It sucks for these employees at these companies because like, the top executives are virtue signaling or chasing ESG policies or they're all just trying to cover their butts from a media that is looking at them. They want to make sure that they appear compassionate to the media who are very woke so they don't write about my bonus. Right. Because remember, that's all they ever write about corporations is like so and so just got $7 million in bonus. It's so much better if they say the CEO, you know, published a book on, you know, intersectionality. But and you think that's what, but then what happens is the brand becomes toxic, which is what happened with Disney. And now is what's happening with American Doll. Right. They tried to soften. Yep. You know, everybody knows that American Doll is very popular, but they're overpriced. I mean, it's like a ripoff. I mean, this is why I no longer buy my furniture there because, like, you know, just a tiny little oven will cost like $200. So anyway, my point being, they tried to soften their appeal by doing this little book telling kids how to transition, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're running. Now, I don't even know if they're even responding. American Girl are responding. I think they're hiding and, you know, because
I have to go over there today.
Let's go over. Yeah, you need some new clothes.
Yeah, we should go over there.
No, we were going to go. Like I said on his show last night, like instead of waiting for them to respond to a call, we should just walk over and knock on the door.
I mean, can you believe a doll company is talking to kids about, you know, the transitioning? Fastest is up next.
Insane.
What she know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Thank you, Grant.
Before we begin, I'd like
my favorite things to do. I count 1, 2, 3, 4 up to 10.
Welcome back. Time for the fastest. Is this the worst boss ever? An Olive Garden manager fired after sending a really harsh message to employees for taking too much time off. Here's a quote. We're no longer tolerating any excuse for calling off. If you're sick, you need to come prove it to us. If your dog died, you need to bring him in and prove it to us. If it's a family emergency and you can't say no, too bad. Go work somewhere else.
That guy needs a day off.
What do you think about that?
It's a woman, right? Manager?
No, it's a guy.
Well, you assume it's a guy.
I know it's a guy.
Let me look. I should probably read the notes.
Yeah, read the notes.
Well, you guys settle that.
I think he needs a day off.
Look, I think that when you are in middle management, the brown stuff rolls downhill. Uh-huh. And you have a situation where you cannot find enough workers right now for any business. You're in the middle of the holiday season. Earnings, you can imagine the pressure that they're getting from corporate because earnings are down. And she's sitting there, I think it's a she,
is
saying, excuse me, you got to come to work. And I'm sure she's heard every excuse in the book. And probably 2 out of 4, like half of them are probably accurate. And yes, maybe going a little too far, saying bring the dog in. I don't accept that. But I do understand the frustration of middle management, and they're not getting enough support from their employees or from their upper management.
Correct.
I have been a boss in many different places, and this is always an issue. 99% of your employees are amazing, but there's always one in every staff that chronically abuses sick days, and it drives you absolutely crazy. And by the way, if it drives you crazy, it drives all of their coworkers crazy.
You are so right.
This used to happen in publishing all the time because everybody's like, "Oh, we're working late, but why is so and so leaving early? Why is that one coming late?"
You know what I love? I love when they're sick for like 2 weeks and then they come in and they give you notice they have a new job. They weren't sick. They were looking for a new job.
Yes.
The only mistake the manager made was putting this in writing.
I'm going to write that down. Video.
I'm going to write that down.
She did it on a video?
No, she should have just done it on video.
One more thing is up next.
GetRefunds.com.
Inviting me. All right, it's time now for one more thing. I'll go first. I'll just plug my show tonight. What a great one. Julie Banderas, Lee Zeldin, Kat Tipp, Tyrus. Check it out. All right, Jesse.
All right, a house in Florida is showing some real Christmas spirit. They are skipping the usual decorations and just putting Bud Light themed holiday displays up. It's how they roll in Florida. Empty beer cases. May Bud Light lead your way. And don't drink and slay. Some of the witticisms you're hearing tonight. More witticisms on the 7 o'clock. Inside the New York Times strike, we sent some producers to talk to the strikers.
Interesting.
I know there's a strike in it. Anyone
there is a strike. We're not going to be able to get our fake news.
You don't think Bud Light was behind the that little thing you just got suckered
How
into?
How do you know I didn't get a case sent to the house?
Judge.
Okay. It's time now for Janine's judgment. That was fast. Okay, watch this video. There's a guy, a criminal. He stole a bunch of stuff. He's trying to get out, and they lock the door.
Yes.
So he gives his stuff back, says he's sorry, he wants to get out. So here's the question.
Sorry.
Do you think store owners should be allowed to lock the criminals in?
Yep.
I do. Absolutely. Lock them in and then chain them up. All right.
I don't know about that.
With all the shoplifting in New York City, this could be the solution.
Yeah, but you got to have a gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In case that guy starts coming after you, right, Dana?
Well, let's cheer on Miss Willie Joyner. She's about to mark her 49th anniversary at Catholic University, where she has been a beam of light for generations of students, learning how to live away from home at college for the first time. The university, they say they would not be the same without her, so they decided to celebrate her in a big way by naming a new dining hall after her. She has worked in the dining hall for 49 years. It's the Miss Willie Joyner Dining Room. It honors the woman who has spent nearly five decades building up students and everyone around her. She believes in work and the dignity of work, and she has been celebrated in a big way by my friend Ed Gillespie and everybody he led to get to this moment.
Congratulations.
Lunch ladies are either really, really wonderful or just mean.
Yeah, she's a good one.
Harold?
Bless her heart. The Army and Navy football teams are gearing up for their 123rd rivalry matchup this Saturday. One aspect of the game that never disappoints are the alternate uniforms, and this year is no exception. Navy's out-of-this-world uniforms or space theme is a tribute to the 54 graduates who have ventured into outer space. Meanwhile, Army's garb recognizes the soldiers of the 1st Armored Division during World War II. This is a great game. It's the only day that I actually choose a military branch over the other. I root for Navy all the time when they're fighting for it. But go Army, baby.
Army. What happened?
I love Army. I'm a West Point fan.
All right. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Go Army.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com. Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.